Welcome to What I Didn't Tell My Therapist, the podcast where we interview guests and share all our experiences and knowledge of how to integrate the world of woo.
Like astrology, transformation, creativity, shamanism,
human design, intuitive guidance, mediumship,
energy healing, personal stories, and so much more into our daily lives in practical,
often magical ways. Hi, I'm Leela Davis, a creative wellness coach.
And I'm Kelsey Elizabeth Myers, a transformative coach and somatic movement educator. If you are looking for healing and ways of expressing yourself and finding more magic in your life, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to our weird and wonderful world.
I am so excited to have Haley Novander back.
Such a treat to have her back. It feels like a historical moment, the return of the original co-host.
She's delightful. Lovely.
And so funny and pretty.
So, this is Haley. Haley Novander. Yes, we don't even have a bio for you. You got to do it on the spot.
I don't have a biography. I just came into existence today.
She's far too humble. She's a comedic actress, a writer.
Oh, go on.
We've been thinking about this for a while, of doing a show basically where we all talk about writing, because we're all writers, and how that has served as a therapeutic release for just living our lives, getting through lives and so forth. I was just wondering, Kelsey, explain what's writing to you? How is it meaningful to you?
I guess for me, I still think of it as really embedded with my identity. I've been writing and reading pretty much since I was a child. One of my first experiences was memorizing children's books and pretending like I could read as a two-year-old. Because I had memorized what words and pictures were on the page. And it's just always been something that has, for me, explained who I am and where I fit in the world and where I can belong. That's why I started originally studying it professionally and got both of my masters in creative nonfiction and poetry writing. But it didn't really feel in my master's program like I was able to express what I wanted just on the page. So that's when I started turning to found object installation and became a professional writer and artist, working with both 3D objects and the words on the page in communication with each other. And then finally, when I started doing conscious dance and somatic work, is when I found like the true or the fullest sense of my expression in all three.
So it's a multimedia approach, basically.
Definitely.
Just one art won't do.
I agree. I don't think one art will do. And how you gotta do it all.
So what about you, Haley?
What? What is writing to me?
Yeah. When did it grab you?
That's a great question. I don't know if I could pinpoint it to a specific moment in time or if it was a more gradual thing. I loved reading as a kid. And then I also loved watching movies. And so somewhere along the way, very early on, I got really into performing and entertainment and specifically comedy. And so when I was in high school, I think I still have them. I have a library of notebooks always wherever I live, just so many notebooks and journals. And my friends and I would pass notebooks around to each other all day, just writing the stupidest things in there. But it was so funny. And I've gone back and read some of them as an adult. And I actually want to give our 15 and 16 year old self some credit for just how bananas we were and just how creative and free spirited we were with some of the stuff we would come up with. So I think it's just always been one of the modalities for just finding that freedom and entertainment to just laugh and be weird. And that's always what I've wanted to do with it.
Yeah. For myself, writing, I think I started writing when I was seriously. I started writing, I guess, when I was around seven, was writing these elaborate stories with different animals, and they were fantasy tales or mysteries or whatever. But basically, I think for me to have the friends I didn't have at the time, I was creating just this whole fun world for myself. And I don't even know how my teachers found out about that. I don't know, some sort of writing assignment or something. I think it was like my third grade or second grade teacher was pulling me in front of the class, and I was a solo kid, a nerdy kid. And she's like telling me to recite my stories in front of everybody. And I was already, I became a star in a way. But the thing is, it didn't feel great because it further alienated me, because either people were like, oh, you're such a star. And I'm like, I'm just me, whatever. And then there would be the ones that were jealous, and they'd be like, oh, and just sending daggers. And I was just like, neither one is great, because what I really wanted was connection. And I think that's how I was finding connection, was creating these stories to create some sort of emotional, social connection that I didn't have in regular life. And then I think in general, writing has been more of a personal thing. I have written blogs and so forth, but a lot of them have been these crazy letters that I would send to people over the years, and especially guys that I was obsessed with.
Well done.
I will just send these tomes and just fill up hard drives full of these waxing philosophical, poetic, whatever. Okay, I'm sending a lot of love to my best self.
You could make a book out of those. Like a collection, and just give it a title and an intro and a conclusion.
I have to dig them up. And I do, like you, I have a lot of, I started, I think around 12, like, dedicating time to journaling. I'm many decades old now, so I have decades worth of journals. And it's good because I have a terrible memory. So I look at my journals and I'm like, whoa, I didn't even remember that I did that or that happened in my life.
Yeah. It's funny to revisit some of that stuff.
Exactly.
I know one of my favorite books by Terry Tempest Williams is When Women Were Birds, and it's 22, I think, variations, or I don't know, some number of variations on the same story, because after her mother died, her mother had shelves of journals, and she like sat down one night to go through them and learn about the history of her mother, and she found that every single one was blank. And so this was her project of writing who her mother was from her own understanding.
Yeah. Either one of you, what's a piece of writing, personal or published, that you feel the most satisfied or proud of, and why?
I would say one of the projects that I feel personally satisfied with is, there was a period in my mid-20s where I was just wanting to make really dumb, low-budget, funny music videos. And when I say low-budget, like under $10, if that, sometimes $0. So I would just write these funny songs and then just take my phone or my old laptop and try to film a music video, just like when I was cat sitting at my great aunt's house. And I don't know how many I ended up doing, but I don't know, I was really proud of those songs. They're just so silly and dumb, and like the music videos, the quality is terrible, and it's just so clearly not meant to be serious or good or like high production value at all. And I've heard it said before, like when you're creating, it's more of, you're just a vessel and it's happening through you, and you don't really recognize, oh, this is me, I'm doing it. Like, I think I feel in the moment like it's me, I'm doing it. But then after the fact, it feels like I was just a vessel that was like being channeled through. So when I think back on when I was just in this flow of being able to write all these songs, and looking back at them, because it's been a long time, I'm just like, man, like, how did I come up with that? Like, that's so funny and clever. And so, yeah, just like these silly songs. And because I did, Lisa helped me with one of them, and that one came out great. Like when I got other people involved to help me start filming some of them, that's when I feel like they reached another level or whatever. But even just doing them on my own, I was just like, this is just, I don't know. It's one of the few kind of creative things I feel satisfied with, like I can do on my own, because I much prefer a collaborative effort. But just, yeah, like those really dumb music videos I made in my mid-20s, I think that's probably, yeah, one of the things I'm most satisfied with.
Yeah, I remember working with you on that one where, what was the, do you remember the theme of that one?
When we were at my aunt's neighbor's house, we actually did two things. So one of them was like a sequel to The Cat Lady.
Right.
There's a trilogy of cat sitting songs. And so that was the second in the trilogy. And then we also made a video application when I was trying to be the drink it intern for World of Beer, which I don't even know if that like restaurant or company is like still in business. And I realized, I was like, I didn't realize it at the time. It was shortly after the fact that I was like, oh, they want Instagram influencers to apply for this. And I was nobody. But even though I didn't get it, and I was really sad because I thought our video was so good, because it was like a perfect parody of the Legally Blonde video application when she's trying to get into Harvard.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is great. So I'm also, I'm proud of those, that creative retreat weekend we had where we made a Cat Lady music video and the Drink It Intern video application. That was fun.
We were working hard on that.
Yeah. And also doing like your photography and stuff. Like we were in a real groove.
We were. I should look at the astrological transit during that time. It's what happened? What was that magic? But that kind of like kicked off our whole podcast. That was what warmed things up, where I thought, oh, why don't we try this? I was listening to Jerry Seinfeld's, one of his books, and he was saying how writing was one of the hardest things in the world. And part of that just seems so incredibly ridiculous, because here you are in a comfortable place. You've got, obviously, you have electricity.
There's light.
You could be writing in a journal where there's bombs blowing up above your head or something like that. But generally, one would think that you're in a pretty safe place and it's not a hazardous job. But it's really us confronting ourselves. And I think that's what's terrifying. And why, you know, that's interesting. Like, why, for myself, I actually don't, it's not so terrifying to me when I'm in the run of it. Cause again, it's that channeling. It really isn't us. That's the thing. It's not actually us. It's a channeling. It's a clearing. So I think maybe that's what we're fighting against. It's the ego saying, I want to have control. I don't want to release my vessel. Yeah. For true creativity, I want to interfere. I want to edit and leak and make basically the writer feel shitty. And that's what's terrifying, is surrendering to the spiritual gods, I guess,
it's like also a balancing act between that notion that, yes, you are just a vessel and this is something that's coming through you when you get like in flow or whatever they can call it. And so I always think one of the things I think about, because that will happen to me sometimes. That's why I like to have all these notebooks around, because I never know when I'm just going to think of something and I'm like, yeah, okay, cool, write that down. And I always think of, have you guys read, I think it's called Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, that one. So she tells the story of that one, I think she was a poet, but she would be outside and she would feel like essentially the poem racing her to her home. Oh, right. So she had to run home and able to be there to catch the poem and write it down. So I think about that. I was like, I need to be in some kind of right space at the right time to be able to catch these things. So it's a balance between that of just being an open vessel, like, I'm ready, like words come through me. I don't even have to think about what order they're going to go in, because it's just going to come out. But then also, it's a disciplined practice. Like you're the one, you're sitting down and you're just doing it when you have no inspiration whatsoever. So it's also that balancing thing. It's, I'm an open vessel and like, I'm ready for the inspiration whenever it flows through me. But then also, oh, I have to sit down and do this every day with nothing happening through me, which,
or yeah, being prepared for nothing and not having the expectations.
Yeah.
Any serious writer knows that it isn't just putting down stuff on the page. There's some editing that goes. There's different processes. There's the kind of the creative, yeah, just flowy, whatever. And then there's the analytical, which is more editing, and you have to go back and forth.
Sure, yeah.
So yeah, we forget about, yes, there's an analytical part, and you just have to say that to the critical mind, listen, your time is tomorrow when we're like editing, but not right now. I just need to flow. I just need to go. So leave me the fuck alone. But I don't know. Like Kelsey, for me, you just seem so incredibly brave. I almost feel like you're never afraid of the creative process, but I probably don't know you well enough.
Tell us your secrets. Yeah.
It's true. I'm not afraid of the creative process just because it is just so much like a part of who I am and how I do things, how I operate. And that's part of my human design. It's part of just the way that I am in this world. But there's also what we learned in the MFA is that you don't really learn how to write in an MFA because that really can't be taught. It's about giving yourself the time and the space to learn your own personal creative process so that you can then continue it when you don't have that structure, that time, that accountability. And so I really took those 3 years that I was studying the nonfiction and then the poetry to learn about my own writing process and to develop it so that I could do it. So I think there's both. There's a craft to it. There's a self-knowing. You have to be aware of who you are and how you do things. Like you can read somebody else's creative process and pull from that, but you have to know what's right for you because otherwise it is just experimentation and that's part of it too. But really that self-knowing is what can serve to keep you going, to give you that momentum and that drive and to pull you through the writer's block. I also wanted to say, there was something you said, Haley, that reminded me of one of the reasons I decided not to go into acting, but to go into writing was because I was, unfortunately now the NXIVM thing has tainted that, but I was a huge Smallville fan and I loved Allison Mack. And one of the things she said about why she acts was that she didn't like herself and she kept wanting to try on these characters so that she could be anything other than who she is. And I thought, oh, I'm definitely going to be a writer because I only care about knowing who I am.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting take. And I've thought about that a lot too, like when it comes to various sort of creative pursuits, what is it about them that makes mm-hmm. you want to do that? And I don't know, with anything, you can get a million different answers. And then I've thought about why do I want to be an actor? And I've come up with a lot of different reasons and it might depend on what mood I'm in that day or something else I've recently like watched or listened to. Arguably for a lot of the people that do it, there has to be that thing about stepping into someone else's skin and kind of like adopting that identity. I would hope that for me, if I'm going to approach it through that lens, it's more of like an empathy thing. I'm sure there's a very small part of me that's, I don't know who I am. So also that sounds fun and cool. And you can draw things from yourself from like these characters that kind of stick to you. Because I also, putting a pin in that, wanted to ask you if you had any insights about the process of that self-awareness and how you like actually figure out who you are, because you seem very like you're there. And I'm just like, tell me how, I don't know. That's a more of a uphill battle for me. But yes, so that kind of trying on different identities, that totally makes sense. I think that's part of it. And I'm sure there's, that kind of grain of insecurity, not knowing. But then I also just, it's much more altruistic. And like, I'm just looking at the world through different people's eyes, so like I understand the world better.
I think part of that really is giving yourself that permission to explore and to experiment with different characters, different ways of creating, different ways of writing, different modalities of either healing or the creative process. And I've always, part of the not having fear is that I've always just had that I didn't have to give myself permission. I would just do it and then figure it out as I went along. I didn't have to have that strategy or that pre-planning. in order to do it or to get started. And I didn't have to wait or for somebody else's permission. And part of that was my mom told me from a very young age that she could not follow anybody else's rules. And then I couldn't either because she gave me that model. For good or bad, I would just listen and do whatever it was that I wanted to in that creative container.
I feel that's how I started out. But I think because my mom and I, my dad, we're all creative people. But I also witnessed and I also experienced a lot of ostracization. And I think a lot of women do. It's like when you claim your power, but then the world doesn't reflect positively back to you. And then you're like, oh, I need to survive socially. But I think as an adult, we need to understand that we're not in that child vulnerability anymore. And that really the thing to do is to take our power back through our authentic expression, and that whatever people say doesn't really matter. It's not gonna, I've got my friend Haley and I've got my friend Kelsey. You have your support, right. You find your people. Those are the only people that matter. And then your mentors or whomever that can basically reflect back to you what's quality work or not, what you need to work with, something that you are feeling needs to grow, but you can trust that person's not going to tear you down. So it's like a homecoming, I think, for me. But for the longest time, I think I was acting for a while, but when I was in Sarah Lawrence, I was known as the writer, and people were labeling me, and I was like, I don't want to be pigeonholed, but I was also doing theater there, but I wasn't the prettiest. Obviously the prettiest girl, woman of the school would always get all the parts. And so when I got out of college and kind of found my way into local theater and whatever, and then was able to get these paying gigs, I didn't even take myself seriously as an actor, because I'm like, I'm not an actor, because I still thought of in college, they didn't really accept me. But it was interesting because I didn't take myself seriously as an actor. I could devote myself to it, like any task that I wanted to do that was, that I cared about, but I didn't get the critical voices in the same way.
Yeah, my friend Bridget puts it very like crudely. She's just, the only way to be good at something is to like just not care about it at all. And I'm like, I understand what you're trying to say, because when you are passionate about something and you want to be good at it, and I think this is probably one of the blocks with me with writing, why I don't feel I'm doing it as much as I should or would want to, is just because I'm like, oh, I want to be good and I care about it. And then there's just no letting go and just letting it flow. So again, that will happen sometimes, but that's also a block where it's just, you identify so hard with it that there's all this pressure to be like, I have to be.
That's the ego.
This. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, if you have tips on ego death, I'm like, really? I don't want to kill my ego. I know that it serves a function. Like I'm learning now, I'm kind of thinking more about like shadow selves and what are the components of my shadow self. But I don't want to kill my ego, but I definitely want it to just quit being so rude and like, really messing up most of my days. Can you just cool your jets, please?
Yeah. I mean, one of the most powerful ways I've found to really get to know those people, have all kinds of words for them, shadows. I call them personas, other people call them saboteurs, but those parts of us that are in conflict or that we struggle with internally, is to meet them through metaphors, and not metaphors that come from the head, but metaphors that come from the soul or the integration of the heart, the mind, and the body. And doing the work that I've done with the Academy for Soul-Based Coaching is really about how can you create this soul metaphor landscape where the actions play through the metaphors, and then the system organically rearranges itself around what happens in that landscape so that it shows up in your life differently. And there is either some release or some completion that allows you to go moving through it. One of my friends who is a certified soul-based coach, Rebecca Eklund, and I have a online writing course called The Magic of Embodied Metaphor, but she works very specifically in using metaphors to get beyond that blank page or that idea of having her writing be this sort of perfect entity or that kind of pressure or stress that creates that just staring at the blank screen. And it all has to do with, again, just being able to meet and go deeper into whatever that is that's creating that pause or that hesitancy or that fear or whatever it is that's coming up. And rather than try to avoid it or try to get it to go away, really just dialogue with it. And then through that dialogue, get to know what's really happening beneath the surface. And then usually that can create some change or a transformation.
Yeah, I've done some exercises when I've felt really jammed up in life and creativity, where I would basically have different characters and then just automatic write a script of so-and-so says this, and so says that, and just going back and forth, or even asking a question of, so why does this happen? And then just automatically write it. And it's trippy because you're just sitting there waiting for the first thought to come to your head. But again, it's like that channeled writing, because you're just like sitting there not trying to be brilliant or anything. You're just curious. And I think the curiosity is key. It's just, instead of just saying, oh, I'm bad or I'm broken or this needs to be fixed, it's just, okay, this isn't really working right now, but I want to know what's going on. Just going from there. I don't always do it. I would like to do it more often. And it ties in with the whole intuition part of it too. It's developing one's intuition and gut feelings and what's yes, what's no in one's body or one's spirit or whatever. And it becomes more and more nuanced over time.
It's also what you were saying with the acting, right? Like when you don't think of it as a job, but just something you're doing, even if you're getting paid for it, it takes that pressure off. Just if you're writing a dialogue of your internal voices and creating characters out of them, and then Haley even embodying them and acting them out, that not only is doing the self work, but it's getting you into the writing process so that you are writing. It's just not maybe what you were thinking you were going to write, but it's a way to get around that. This is what I'm doing. This is the project, and just writing.
Yeah, the whole thing, like what Bridget was saying about that you can't care about it. That's the Buddhist.
I was like, she's so Buddhist, but it's wrapped in this like extremely vivacious package, which like I love and actually makes it maybe a little bit more accessible. Like for me, exactly. I don't know. I'm like, exactly. Yeah, I get it for exactly. Sure.
This non-attachment, the whole thing to me, if I could just take everything more as just this sense of play and experimentation and exploration and not making it so serious. But I think that's the thing when one's quote unquote a healer, one gets pushed into this, one feels obligated to take things seriously. Or even if you're quote unquote healing yourself, I don't want to do this wrong. But if you think about it, it's who else is going to live my life and how can it be wrong or right? Because I'm the only one that's going to be doing this. So nobody else is going to live my life. And the thing is like the last year or so, I've really been reassessing the idea of failure from different vantage points. Failure is just an attempt that didn't get the result that you were expecting. That's all it is. And it really is just information. So if it's not meant for you, it shouldn't be successful. One would hope that it wouldn't be successful because you'd be stuck in something that really wasn't ultimately resonating with who you really want to be. But then us finding ourselves take some time.
And that's why we write.
Yes.
Another thing I was thinking about today when I was reading that book and just being blown away by just like word choice. But then I'm thinking, I'm just mystified at the fact that we came up with sounds that we make with our mouths that are expressing what's in our brain. So someone else outside of us understands what's happening in our brain. And that's like a mind-boggling concept in and of itself. Before, we could have been like making sounds or something, but I'm not an anthropologist and I'm not a historian, so I can't tell you like, oh, the hominids or whatever like made this grunting sound. But the fact that over just the evolution of humanity, just I'm sitting there just like reading this sentence and like, what an incredible sentence. And maybe however long ago we would just be like, ugh, like I don't, it just blows my mind that you can even just take what's in your brain and write it in such a way that someone's like understanding, they're connecting, and like they're feeling so deeply. The fact that we're even having this conversation and using the words that we're having, and the fact that you could write them down and other people could see that. I also just overwhelm myself with the fact of just how magic it is. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that kind of magic. Like, what?
But the fact is, everybody has done that kind of magic since the beginning of humans. Because as you were saying, before we had language or literacy, we had drawings on cave walls. We had sounds. We had knocking on things, but humans have always wanted to communicate and to express and to tell stories. And it's something that's naturally, regardless of whether or not there's been Western education or Western language, but right. Women have traditionally been keepers of stories and storytellers, right. And talk story and just ways of expressing ourselves and communicating visions.
Yeah, I was thinking of all the many languages of the world and just that. It's been such an imperative, this sharing of story and connecting through sounds, through symbols. And right now, what's interesting, I'm just thinking about words and writing and so forth with my psychic mediumship, medical intuition, all the stuff that I'm studying on the side, and that we're going into telepathy and where it's like pre-verbal and thinking about communicating with animals or with objects without language in the sense of, or creating your own vocabulary. Just what does a circle mean to you? And then just writing all these things.
Yeah.
If you see that. So it's just, yeah, the idea of communication, like you were mentioning about cats, like cats talk to humans,
to us, but not to each other.
Not to each other, because they do telepathy with their fellow fur bodies, but they use language like meow meows with us. Which is insane.
And it's really interesting too, because as children, like friends, and I did this with my friends too, just passing letters in school, you would come up with codes so no one else could read them, if or the teacher couldn't read them if they found them. But just that idea of creating your own language to express it with chosen people.
Yeah. Haven't we all done that? Didn't you guys try to come up with your own language with your friends? I've definitely tried to do that at least 3 times.
Like, I can't read it anymore. Like, yeah. I look back at the old things that I saved and I'm like, I can't understand.
I forgot the code. I forgot the encryption key. I don't know. That's what's also interesting too, like for a lot of television and movies, how they will invent languages for sci-fi and fantasy and stuff like that, which is fascinating. I listened to a podcast once where they had someone whose job it is to consult on that. I'm just fascinated by language in general. So I forgot where I was going with that. But coming with a foreign language is like absolutely bananas. But then, yes, it's this thing of we're creating this. All we've done, like all we've ever been doing is just trying to find ways to, we're creating to find ways to connect and to communicate. Because I think maybe deep down, all we want is, I just need this other, like we're you or me, and we're like, you just need to know what's in here and I want to know what's in there, and that's how we're going to survive.
Exactly. And the whole journaling thing, it's this self-reflection, because if we're just thinking in our mind, it's almost, one could get confused and you just get these words and these ideas and these feelings are just surrounding you, almost like people, if you were in the middle of a room and then a whole gang of people are shouting at you, there's just no way that you can like really know what to do or how to act except to just be in some sort of like survival response, frozen or shouting or whatever. So you need to get that out in the page so that you can observe and choose, and yeah, and meditation helps with that.
Yeah. Do you both have a daily writing practice? And if so, what does that look like?
I think I need to get back to that, but I've had different types of writing practices. I have had like an astrological transit practice where I'm feeling a particular way, and then I'll look at the chart and see what's going on, and then I'll create a narrative. So that'll help me understand my own personal experience, but also just helps me as an astrologer to be able to speak to other people about things. Then I have another practice where it's me actually responding on social media to people asking questions or things. So I'm like using it as a kind of a functional saying, oh, I don't understand why I can't get along with my parents, whatever it is, some problem. And then I'll just chime in and write something. And then there's just the regular sort of journaling where when I might be doing a dream journal, or I might just at the end of the day write down things that I felt good about, or I do all sorts of different things, but yeah, would like to do just write down 10 things that I could do and commit to at least one of them
every day.
Yeah.
I'm not like a daily person for mm-hmm. anything. I don't even honestly brush my teeth every day. Sometimes I just sleep and forget.
Like, you're not the only one.
Yeah.
Other than like eat and breathe, I don't think there's anything I do every single day.
Exactly. And I've tried. It doesn't work for me. Like, it doesn't help me or really serve me in any way. So I am much more of a sort of inspiration writer, but I do check in with myself and find ways to creatively express myself every day. Yeah. It looks different, but that is one practice that I do. Yeah, I connect with myself and either draw or write or journal or pull a card and reflect mm-hmm. on it just in my mind. Yeah. Something that will serve to just further my own self-development and self-inquiry. And that always eventually winds up in something that I write.
Yeah, that's something that as a multi-passionate for the longest time, I felt shamed because I wouldn't commit to one thing or the other. Like mm-hmm. writing's probably the thing that I've done the longest, but then I've done all sorts of different things, or acting or singing or dancing or whatever. And there's been periods of time of total concentration and bordering on obsession with certain activities. And then I'll just drop away from it, but it'll still be part of the landscape of my life. And it doesn't mean that I think when we take something up and maybe we're not able to create, or we get a roadblock, we don't have to continue to hit ourselves on the head or on the wall. You can shift into something else, another modality that can keep that energy going. And sometimes it's like different tools.
Word. Actually, you know what? I don't know that I 100% completed it, but the closest I ever came to finishing something was doing the artist way. Have you ever done that?
I have the book. I haven't actually done it. I've read a bit of it. It's yeah. I mean, for me personally, it's not my thing, but
yeah.
But I respect that it works for a lot of people and people yeah. love it.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing too, going into it. Either I had whatever expectations, or I didn't have any expectations, but I thought maybe I should. There's something I'm supposed to be getting out of this. I think I thought, oh, this is a magic trick that's going to help me figure out who I am and what I should be doing and like how to do it. And I don't think that's how it works. But I did do it once, because when the pandemic started, I was like, what a perfect time. I had all the time to do it. And I got to like week 12. And I think week 12, I just didn't do any of the things for the final week. But that was nice because it was a daily writing practice, because you have to do the morning pages every day. And then that was a special, unique case, because like I said, I had all the time because no one was allowed to leave their house and we weren't doing anything. But the thing that I got out of completing it the first time was just figuring out that, like, I really wanted to try ice skating again, because I did that as a kid and I was like, I really want to do that. And then I ended up taking ice skating lessons for 8 weeks and it was so wonderful. So even just a small thing like that is pretty cool. Yeah, that's just, I was thinking about the challenge. That's the closest I've come to completing anything.
Which I think is great because it provides a structure for people who really need that in order to serve their creative process. One of my favorite poets, Gregory Orr, has this idea that every kind of masterpiece has four qualities: story, structure, music, or this lyricality of the language, and imagination. And he said all great writers have two of them, some of them three. It's sort of in working on the ones that you don't have where you can, either in the revision or the editing, really create the best piece of writing that you can. And so for me, I'm very much a structure and imagination kind of person. So for me, it helps to work on the musicality and the story aspects because I have the structure for myself. But for people who aren't structure-based, something like the morning pages or something like that artist way can be really helpful.
Definitely. Yeah. Even to just dip your foot into something like that too. Because again, I think going into it originally, I'm like, oh, like after I read this and do this 12-week program, like I'm going to be a full-fledged artist and like a professional writer. And it's no, bitch, like you're just going to figure out that you want to go ice skating. So like it can be that small, and that's cool too. But yeah, with the, that's interesting, like those four components. I will think more about that too, because I think when it comes to structure and then also like my own kind of discipline, it's like I can't, again, like I'm not doing the same thing every day. But then when I'm just like, I need total freedom and I'm unencumbered. But then I think when I get out there, I'm like overwhelmed and spoiled for choice. So I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. And I'm free to do that. Yeah. I just need to work on balance.
Exactly. And to fall in love with that process. I think I did start the morning pages and then I just stopped reading it because it's like, it's a beautifully written book, but it's overwhelming, all the exercises or all the different like things that she's, you could do this or this. Yeah. And I'm like,
you also, oh, yeah. Okay. So actually, and not to go on a total artist way tangent, but one thing in that is she's telling you like, there's no failing because this is just creative expression, but there's like all these tasks you have to do. Sure. And you feel like if you don't do them, like you fail.
So there's this real like, push-pull experiences.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm just going to do the morning pages. And I was doing those for a couple of years. And I did get, that was like, I was doing when I was like some of the most regular consistency and really pivotal to my own healing was I did yoga every day and then I did my morning pages and I did my meditation and I just had that chunk of time that I just committed consistently for, I don't know, over a year or two. And it really, yeah, it created this real sense of stability. And like when you get that going sometimes, then you start to feel really weird, or you feel really weird when you don't do it on one day and you're like, ugh. But then it, then if you don't do it again and again, and then that becomes the new pattern. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, then fall in love with a routine, but it's always good to switch it up.
I am really curious to know, so maybe what's the last thing that you wrote? Oh, yeah. And then what are your favorite things to write? So I know you talked about some of this stuff when I asked about like daily writing practices, but what are you... We're trying to write novels or poetry or short stories or songs, or like, what are your preferred lanes and what's the last thing you did?
Your beautiful art journal. I wrote a piece for that.
Yes. Haley, you should submit something too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah. Some amazing stuff in there. And I was really satisfied with this because I think it was pulling together. Because for the longest time, I had two different blogs. I had a spiritual blog and I had a political blog. and I felt divided. Like I couldn't figure out how to integrate these two. It's almost previous to what's going on in the country or whatever, but I was really having a problem of like, how am I a good person and loving and so forth? And then all this political like war and mayhem and racism and all this stuff is going on over here. And it was just like, I can't do this. I have to write two blogs. But I felt that piece of writing somehow was able to integrate ideas that I had been having for years about people healing trauma in society, being an expression of trauma within ourselves, and how we are responding to the world really has to do with us needing to heal ourselves and be more self-compassionate and so forth. But it was, I'm butchering the idea of my story, but I was really happy with it. And I'd like to write more of that. I would like to write a memoir, looking back and pulling pieces from my journal. And commit to
you're gonna throw some of those love letters in there too.
Oh yeah. Showing like my whole codependent love addiction chapter of my life, which is way too long of a chapter. And yeah, I'd like to write regular articles for Medium. That's what I'm thinking coming up. So
nice.
And Kelsey, yeah. Of course you love everything you do because and you should.
Honestly, I do actually love most things I do. Even when they're awful, I still do. But like,
it's incredible. Break me off.
But I just, yeah, your piece was beautiful, Leela. And for any listeners who want to check it out, it's at the Transformative Power of Art Journal, the special summer issue on War and Peace. You can find Leela's essay. The thing, I guess, I just finished, I think last year, this book of fire poetry and expressive art drawings that I combined the drawings with different sections of poems. It's called In Between Smoke Rising, Her Wildness on Fire. And it's really my journey into womanhood from feeling still like a girl or like I needed to hide or be protected in some way to really just ingesting the fire and becoming a full out woman.
Hell yeah.
Like beyond adulting, just like fully there. Mm. And so I'm promised of that. And I've been trying to get it published as a chat book. It's 2 pages short of a full poetry book manuscript. And so I'm like, maybe I should just add 2 poems, but yeah. Or make it into a full
like
thing.
A page requirement for that.
Yeah.
There is generally 40 to 60 is a full poetry manuscript. And anything below that is a chat book from 15 to 40 pages. So mine is 38, but some of them are drawings. And yeah. It has been a finalist for some writing contests. And I got a lovely rejection letter saying how much they loved it from Dancing Girl Press. But I'm like, so maybe it really does just need to be a book. But that's one of my current projects. I feel complete with it. And there probably is still more that I can do. I've had this since 2010. I've had this ongoing living inquiry of The Red Frame, which is a collection of essays, which started out as one essay called The Red Frame that became an art installation, then an interactive piece, then an ongoing installation for years that got completed in 2018. And then I've written several red essays that go along with it, and I'm still working that through. I think it's probably gonna carry me into my 40s. I was thinking it would just be like a decade, but it's already been that.
Awesome.
And I'm also working on my dissertation, which is a self-study I'm calling Deconstructing the Bowler Hat, My Life as an Object Lesson and Dialogical Persona, where through the arts-based research and the self-inquiry, I'm hoping to come up with my own process for trauma integration. And so that's what I'm currently working on and about to jump into a 5-day challenge through the Awaken School that starts tomorrow called Outlining Your Book Challenge. If either of you are interested, it starts tomorrow morning, so there's still time to join.
So we covered a lot of things just all over the place, but it's so nice to have had you back on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great. I'll come back anytime.
It would be great to have another one with the three of us, you know, about writing continued part two.
Maybe when we see what we've learned from this discussion.
Exactly.
And then, hey, anything come from that?
Maybe. I definitely got something out of it.
Yes.
I have lots of food for thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I can come visit you and we can do a music video.
Oh my God, please. That's all I want to do is make dumb music videos. I was working on Cat Lady Part 4 too. And it's about how my great aunt fired me from being her cat sitter.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. But I haven't. So like the lyrics are done, but I have not found music for it yet. So yeah, there's that too. That's what I'm plugging right now. So I don't know.
That's been great.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yes, this is fantastic.
Oh my goodness, we covered everything. We were whipping around with different topics about creativity, but I think that's what it's all about. It's a big thing. It's a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, one of the big takeaways I got from our conversation was how important creative process is to everyone, and just the different ways we can go about exploring that or having resistance to that and working it out and working it through is just really inspiring to me.
Yeah, it is inspiring, and it's inspiring to hear like how excited everybody gets when they talk about creativity. It lights people up. I feel a little more lit. Yeah, I drink a lot of coffee, but still talking about creativity is really enlightening.
Yeah, there's that spark that you can carry into the week.
And let's carry that spark until our next show. So where can everybody find you, Kelsey?
You can find me at dialogicalpersona.com, and I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube, at Dialogical Persona.
Taking over the social media. And for myself, you can find me on Instagram at My Piece of Sanity. That's P-E-A-C-E. And also leladavis.com is my website. And for the podcast, please subscribe and share. And only 5 stars. If you don't like it, just don't even bother. We don't need 1 or 2 stars. Thank you very much. And we're on Facebook, and we have
Spotify.
Instagram, Spotify. Yes, all the podcast platforms. So we'd love for you to share and enjoy, and we'll be seeing you next time. Bye.
Bye.